Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope.
I believe that when we're taking action, we're going to see it, we're going to hear it. And I like this quote because it says, where the needs of the world and your talents cross. Too many people are constantly saying, what's my job? What's my job? What's my job? But I believe in this room today, there are many, 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 many. Every one of us are gifted. Every one of us have been assigned a talent or an ability. Amen. Are you glad to be here? Are you ready for the word? Let's get started this morning. They're on their way. All right, we're going to continue a series that we started. This is our third part, taking action, 2018, taking action. We've been preaching. We talked about Noah last week, that he was a man of action. We shared several things there about the life of Noah, the oppositions that he faced, the voice and the ear that he had. Not only did he hear, but he decreed. They were those that rejected. But at the same time, he was obedient and followed the Lord, stood alone when he had to stand alone. We talked about some of those that in the natural stood alone. We talked about how David and Daniel stood alone and the Hebrew children stood alone. You say, Pastor, they didn't stand alone. You're absolutely right. In the natural, they stood alone, but in the supernatural, they were standing with the Spirit and the anointing of God. And I told you that even when you feel like you're standing alone, that if you're following the Lord and serving him, come on, somebody, that you're never going to stand alone as a servant of God. That he'll always equip you. He'll always be by your side. He'll always be there for you. And he'll always work through you if you'll just let him take an action. Today, we're going to talk about, and the title of this particular message in the series is The Gift That Keeps On Giving. The Gift That Keeps On Giving. Now, we're going to talk about some talents today. Does anybody have a talent? You ever watch that show, America's Got Talent? Anybody? Some years ago, Selena and I started watching that in the summer together, and it's kind of like we record it, and we can't watch it that week. We'll catch up the next week, but we watch it together, and we kind of, it's like one of those shows you vow not to watch without your spouse because you want to watch it together. You know what I'm talking about? And so America's Got Talent, and saying some of the people that come out on stage, you wonder how that could possibly be a talent. I mean, you stand there, there was these two guys that come out, I think they were Chinese guys, and they had real big bellies. Anybody seen that one? Y'all seen that? And they make sounds with their bellies, popping stuff on their bellies. And I'm like, that is one of the dumbest things I have ever seen in my entire life. And then there were five guys that spit water out their mouth in kind of a syncrasy or order to music. Anybody see that? And they're running around going, spraying water out their mouth in different parts. And I'm like, who would call that a talent? I mean, my daughters can do crazy stuff at home, and if they're going to give them $1 million for spewing water out that mouth, sign me up. What's a talent? We're going to talk about that this morning. I mean, do we really understand that every one of us in this room have been given talents, I believe, by God? Oh, we're going to get in this morning. You're going to like it. Are you ready? Let me read something to you this morning. The idea of action, we've been talking about action. The idea of action brings to thought and consideration one's talent. If you're going to be someone who's active, you've got to identify the fact that there is talent in your life. You've got to utilize that talent. Let's keep going. Where the needs of the world and your talents cross, it's been said that there lies your vocation. For the past several weeks, we've been challenging you to take action, to not be lazy, to not just be a pew warmer. Amen. We were sitting the other night with Ben and them at the football game, and of course, too much rain for me, I finally left. And I think it was Ben or his mom or somebody said to me, Preacher, if you're going to sit with us, we get a little rowdy at the football game. I had my little cowbell. I said, I'll join you. When I'm at a game, I take action. If you're going to be at my house doing the dogs, when the dogs are playing, are you hearing me? I'm going to raise the roof in my living room. Roll Tide, somebody said. My pastor's a diehard Roll Tide Alabama fan. He's from Alabama. He has to go to heaven too. Somebody say amen. But I love it, man, and I take action. You hear my emotion. You hear my passion. My wife will go in the kitchen to get a snack and bring us or something, and I'll start to scream, and she'll drop everything and run back and deliver. What happened? What happened? Sometimes I'll text a buddy of mine, literally text them the words, high five. I told him it's my virtual high five, even though we're hours away. That's what we used to do. We text one another. I text Albany, my brother, high five. I believe that when we're taking action, we're going to see it. We're going to hear it. And I like this quote because it says, where the needs of the world and your talents cross. Too many people are constantly saying, what's my job? What's my job? What's my job? But I believe in this room today, there are many, 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 many. Every one of us are gifted. Every one of us have been assigned a talent or an ability. Amen. Preacher, you don't understand. Quit letting the devil lie to you. I said, quit letting the devil lie to you. Well, amen. Let's read this together this morning. You're going to see where we're going. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. I'm going to give you a lot of facts today. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 through 30. We're going to read the entire parable here about the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave five talents, to another two, and to another one. To each according to his own ability. Everybody say ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he, doesn't that sound like another story? Think about that. Doesn't it sound like another event that transpired in the Bible whenever there was anointing released, whenever there was a spirit of truth, a spirit of power, a comforter, come on somebody, that was imparted to the believer and he went to the Father so it could be imparted to us so that we could do the job? Because one day the master's going to return. Do you see the symbolisms here? But he who received one went and dug. Sorry, let's go back. Where was I? Verse 16. Then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. Likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received five talents came and brought five other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me five talents. Look, I have gained five more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who also had received two talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me two talents. Look, I have gained two more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him, give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want us to begin this morning by examining the talents of this parable. I believe that most of us have read this scripture probably a lot of times, and probably few of us have ever really acknowledged what the talent was. In my studies of this, I found my own self shocked because I had, probably like many of you in my mentality, a talent was a coin. I thought about a gold coin, and it was, you know, 5 talents or 3 talents or 1 talent. They were giving these gold coins, but the facts are the talent was not a coin. And some theologians believe and historians believe that the talent could have been a very large disc. like a giant coin, if I may. But I want to give you some information. You say, Pastor, why are you doing this? Because it's going to change how we see this parable. It's going to change how we see what God is trying to teach us about being the body of Christ. That no longer can we be dormant. No longer can we sit idle. But there should be a burning passion on the inside of us to fulfill the call of God in our lives. What exactly is and was a talent? First of all, a talent is a weight and a value of gold. Listen to this. It is a weight and a value of gold. One talent is equal to 75 pounds. Five talents, three talents, one talent. Titus, where are you, buddy? How much do you weigh, Titus? Do I have anybody less than 92 going once? How much do you weigh? How much? 85? Can I borrow you for a moment? You didn't know what you were getting into, did you? Would you come up here for just a second, please? Y'all give him a hand. Come on. You can do it. He's like, why did I open my mouth? He's 85, so that's close enough, right? You walk with me? Can I put my arm around you? Is that all right? Okay. 85 pounds. You ever heard the old expression, worth your weight in gold? You ever heard that? They're not worth their weight. Some people shorten it down. That's where we get the phrase from. Worth your weight in gold. Now think about this. See that up there on the back wall? That kind of helps me cheat a little bit. You see that? One talent equals 75 pounds. So if we had a talent where one here in the parable had five, it would be the equivalent basically of five of this young man. Five talents. Think about it. In gold. Now, thank you. You can go have a seat. A talent in biblical times would have been roughly $30,000 in gold. Who wants a talent? Now, in our current day, and I looked this up because I wanted to see what right now 75 pounds of gold would be worth. $1,289,118.97. Long way from a few coins. Come on now. I said it's a long way from just a few coins. So we start looking at this different. You know, we kind of pictured, you know, as a child or young man or whoever, that the master just gave five coins, three coins, one coin. They had to do a little something with it. You know, it's just a coin. It was just a little talent. But that's not at all. The master had well equipped these servants. One talent is more than imaginable. But five talents. We start looking at this parable from a different light. I want to show you something else. Exodus chapter 38 verse 24 said, all the gold that was used in all the work of the holy place, that is, the gold of the offering, was 29 talents. And 730 shekels according to the shekel of the sanctuary. That is 2,175 pounds of gold, or in today's term, $37 million of gold in the holy place. Now, I'm not a prosperity preacher in that sense that I name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. Come on. But I do believe with all of my heart that we should be faithful givers, that we should honor God, that we should give 100% of our best, that we shouldn't try to portion out God and give Him our leftovers or our remnant. I believe it should be the absolute best. And whatever we're giving, whether it's money or time or energy, come on somebody, giving God our best. I heard a man some years ago said, now we build fine homes and tiny churches. Or we make our homes real nice and our churches not so nice. I believe we should give our best. Revelation chapter 16 verse 21 said, it tells us of hail. You ready for this? It tells us of hail the size of a talent falling on men. You ever seen hail? Man, you hear about it the size of a golf ball or a softball. Everybody's hiding their vehicles. And, I mean, it does some damage. It busts. Can you imagine a 75-pound ball of hail? Think about that. Man, you're talking about dipping and diving and trying to get out of the way. So all of a sudden now we've got a different view of this talent. It's not just a few coins. It's not just something tiny that was passed off. You're going to get this morning. Some of you are going to have a complete change of perspective. You've been sitting there for so long, the devil lying to you, telling you that your talent was worthless, telling you that you didn't have a gift, telling you that you weren't supposed to be doing this or that or the other, or that you couldn't accomplish something. But I'm going to show you by the word of God today that God values your talent, that God gave you gifts according to your ability, and he wants to use you. I don't believe for one minute that Mountain Gap or that you or that any believer or follower of Christ should be sitting dormant, but we ought to be passionate and powerful and intentional. Why? Because God Almighty has blessed us. I'm in a preaching mood this morning. Is that all right? Hallelujah. Let's examine it. Three servants with different abilities. We're not all the same. Brother James is a tremendous teacher. Not all of us are. Come on now. Some of us are gifted in the modern sense of electronics and gadgets and media and all the tech stuff. And some of us can barely operate a remote control. You know, I'm only 43, but let me tell you something I've learned. I've always tried to stay current. It was always important to me to be current, to be relevant. And Steve, I wanted to stay on top. I want to stay in tune with my kids. And the next thing you know, you start asking, how do I do this on Snapchat? You know, with me? How do I get into this on Instagram? What did they do with that? They changed everything around. Times change. Come on now. We're all gifted differently. Three servants with different abilities. When I look at this passage of Scripture, when I look at this story, and I begin to consider that fact, I think that we as a body of Christ need to identify that we each have our own place. One was given five, one was given three, one was given one, according to their abilities. It's not for me to judge you or you to judge me or be jealous of me or me to be jealous of you, because we look and say, well, they've been given this many talents. They've been equipped this way, but so-and-so has been equipped that way. Why don't I ever get? Listen, just do with what God's given you, because we're all different. Can I tell you, 20 years ago, it wasn't for me to pastor Mountain Gap. Each church and each ministry and each stage of my life, God was developing and God was shaping me. I can go all the way back to the first Sunday school class that I ever taught. Don't despise the day that you begin. I can go all the way back to when I was vacuuming the church on Sunday mornings and staying there to the wee hours of the night praying. Come on now. See, some of you got complacent. You settled for something. Can I tell you something? God's got more for you. God gave you an ability. Each one of ours is different. Each one of us is unique. But God gave it to you, and he wants to equip you with a talent to do more for the kingdom of God. Don't bury what God has given you. What are we doing with the blessings of a master? What are we doing? Have you ever given somebody a gift and they didn't do anything with it? I mean, can you imagine this morning if I came to you and gave you a 75-pound block of gold? Man, listen, you would love me forever. I bet you'd take me out to eat. Might buy me a new suit or car. I guarantee if somebody tried to talk bad about me, that would be the end of them. You'd let them know it right then and there. Can I tell you a joke? I heard this one time. I thought it was kind of funny. He said this man walked in to the church, or actually he called the church office and he spoke with Toy. He said, Toy, I need to speak to the big pig. Toy said, sir, I don't know who you're talking about. Ma'am, I need to speak to the big pig. Sir, I'm sorry, but I don't know who or what you're referring to here. Ma'am, I really need to speak to the big pig. And she said, sir, if you're referring to our pastor, we do not speak of him in that manner. He said, I have a $1 million contribution. She said, hold on, Boss Hogg just walked through the door. Call me whatever you want. If you're going to give $1 million contribution today, I promise you we will use it for the kingdom and I will take your insult. Here's my point. The master, everybody say it. The master gave 5, 3, and 1 according to their abilities. When I look out over this house today, I know that the master has given 5s and 3s and 1s. And you could use whatever number that you'd like to use. But what I know is this. The real question today is, are we really honoring the master? Are we really looking back at him and him being able to say, well done, my good and faithful servant, for what I have given to you. You have used it wisely. Well, amen. Are we serving others with what the Lord has given us? One servant here in the parable was given 375 pounds of gold, one 150 and one 75. God considers his gifts to be of great value. He doesn't give us anything that's not of value. He gives us what is important and what is essential and what is directly assigned to our life for the effectiveness and the development of us and the fulfillment of the call of God on our life. Oh, I just heard the Holy Spirit. You know why some of us never ever develop in the gifting and the calling of God? Because we bounce from one thing to another. Some people bounce from one church to another. Now, if you're visiting today, we got quite a few. Praise God for you, and I'm not there to insult you in any way. I do believe there's transitions and seasons of time of change in our life. But I also know some folks that they just get mad here. They're 6 weeks later, they're mad there. You know what? I love you, but I can't fix that. Only the Holy Spirit can. That's something you got to want to change. Amen? But what I know is this, if you're always bouncing, you're never growing. You're not developing. You're not anchored down. The master's not going to release a gift into your hand that you're not going to use wise in the kingdom. Well, amen. You've been praying to be a millionaire. God's not gave it to you yet because you'll go to Tahiti. You won't use it for his glory. Come on now. I'll give that preacher a little bit of it, but bless God, we're going to buy us an island. Number two, second thing I want you to see is the action of the servant. All three of them took action. That's something I want you to get today. All three of them took action. How many times in the body of Christ, even today, you may think you're not taking action, but you're doing something. I've always said I would rather make a decision and it be wrong, Sister Lane, so I can at least turn around and go the right way. But if I spend my entire life never making a decision, then I'm just about guaranteed that I'm failing there. I need to make a decision. Guys, you ever ask your wife where they want to go eat? I don't care. I don't know. Don't matter to me. It's up to you. Yeah. Okay, well, let's go there. Oh, no, I don't want that. We've ate Mexican for years, man. Listen, I am a connoisseur of it. I can tell you all about Mexican food. When it comes to authentic foods, I know them. I love them. We had a Hispanic congregation, and I'm not afraid of them at all. But for some reason, my wife just got burned out recently. She said, I don't want no Mexican. But I say, where you want to go eat? Let's go to the La Fiesta. Let's go eat. No, I don't want no Mexican. But she'd take wherever you want to. Some of us spend our lives indecisive and undecided and uncommitted, and we think that is a way to be successful, because we're taking the easy road, the middle ground. Step up. Come on now. What if I fail? He won't fail you. What if I sink? He'll pick you up. Come on now. Three servants, different abilities. Number two, the action of the servant. All three took action. Two invested and one buried what they had been given. They all three took action. Just two used it the right way, and one buried it. I wonder if that might be where we are today. Is it possible that we could be that way as an individual? Is it possible that we could be that way as a church? One thing I've learned over the years, people want churches to grow. They'll tell you, oh, we want our church to grow. And then somebody just tell you, I like it just like it is. Now, let me ask you something. If we like our church just like it is, the only way... Now, you listen to me. I'm fixing to get you goat. You ready? You're going to be shocked at what I'm about to say. The only way to win people to Jesus is through rotation. What do you mean? If you like it just like it is, you don't want it to grow any bigger. The only way to fulfill the Great Commission, here, well done, is for somebody to get saved and take your spot and you move out. That's the only way to keep it just like it is. Do you see what I'm saying? Hear me out. Because if we're really fulfilling the Great Commission and people are being saved, the church is going to grow. So please, I love you, but don't have that mentality. I want it to stay just like it is. I don't want a strange person sitting by me. I've sat there for 25 years. Come on now. You know what I did in one of my pastors one time? I started occasionally on Sunday, I'd have everybody stand up and go sit in a different spot. I think sometimes that's kind of like lifting weights. We're conditioning ourselves for growth. We are, because what happens if one Sunday you walk in and because lives have been changed? Listen, that's what it's really about. We say we don't want change or we don't want it to be different. But if we're really leading people to Christ, the church is going to grow. And the only way for it to stay the same, if that's what you want, is either not win people to Jesus or when we do, let them take your spot. And I don't want either of those. I don't want, God, I don't want heaven to, I want it to be, you know, stay the same. I want it to fill up, get bigger. Maybe God has to expand. Come on now. Now, if you misunderstood me, talk to me after church later and I'll explain what I said, because I don't mean that in a way to be negative or say I don't want you to hear or be here. What I'm trying to say to you is simply this. If we're really leading people to Jesus, our churches will be changing. Not the color of the carpet or, come on now. But you might walk in and sit down by somebody that you don't know. Amen. You might walk in on church Sunday and say, well, I don't know everybody anymore. My wife's aunt and uncle were here, and their pastor that they were sharing with me, we really enjoyed the conversation. He said our church had got down to about 50 people. He's in the Assemblies of God. They were in the Church of God for many years and ended up in an Assembly of God some years ago. And he said our pastor had got really feeble in health and it was a very difficult place. He'd had multiple strokes and he was well up in age and we loved him dearly, but the church was just declining because he couldn't pastor the church. And he said finally as a board, we just had to sit down with him and say, look, we love you, but you got to retire. If we don't make a change here, we're not going to have a church anymore. It's just going to die. Because nobody's ministering, nobody's connecting, it's just lost a vision. And it's not that we don't love you, but you're not able to do it. And they said that to him in love, and they gave him a great severance package, and he understood, and he resigned. And they hired a young man that pastored out of Arizona, and he came into a 50-member congregation. And you have to understand, her uncle, as he shared this with me, it just inspired me, man. He said, we do block parties. He said, we do stuff I would have never thought about doing. He said, the pastor's out there setting up, and we serve people in the community. He said, now we're running. He said, in just a couple year time, we're running over 200-something in attendance. And he said, some Sundays I walk in, and he said, these people are people that are getting saved, not just coming to the church. They're getting saved. That's the key. And he said, some Sundays I walk in, he said, I kind of had to adjust myself to knowing everybody. And being able to walk in and say, hey, it's good to see you. How long have you been with us now? What if you had to do that? Here's what I'm telling you. If we really want to take actions as servants, we want to see people saved. And people saved does mean that things change. I don't know about you, but there's one thing I don't want to do. Boy, I got off my notes this morning. I tore, stirred me up an ant bed. Somebody say amen. I want to lead people to Jesus because that's what Jesus said to. And if you don't have that vision, you look at me with all the love I can stir. I'm telling you, you need to get on your knees and get hungry again. Because if somebody hadn't had that vision, you wouldn't be sitting here today. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. The actions of the master. We saw the actions of the servant. Some used their talent. One buried their talent. The action of the master. You know what he did? He asked for an account. This is one of those messages that's going to convict us, and we're going to have to determine what to do with it. Robbie, we can ignore it or we can receive it. It's up to us. We can walk in victory or we can walk in regret. It's up to us. Come on now. Sometimes we say we want the change. We want the weight loss, you know. We want to get better, and then 2 days into the diet, we're like, I want my donuts. Let's talk about what the master did. He asked for an account. Tell you what, if you really want to be the follower and the servant of Christ, you've got to be willing to give an account. Come on now. He never gave specific instructions on what to do with the talents. You notice that? He didn't go up to Brother Ronald and say, here, I'm giving you 5. Here, Tom, I'm giving you 3. And Stacy, I'm giving you 1. And I want you to do this. He gave it to them. But yet what he gave them with no specific instructions, he came back and said, what have you done with it? Think about that. You know what I'm saying to you this morning? Well, I believe the Holy Spirit's saying to us, there's going to come a day he's going to look at us and say, what have you done with the talents I gave you? What have you done? I believe as a church as a whole, as individuals, that God looks down upon us and he wants us to take what he values so greatly. Please hear me. Some of you can write. Some of you can sing. Some of you can pray. Some of you can lead. Some of you, there's so many giftings that lie within inside this body of believers. And we get past our flesh and get past ourselves, and we start making ourselves available to serve. When we start taking action and saying, I'm not burying the talent he gave me. I'm taking my 3. I'm taking my 5. I'm taking the gifting because he valued it so much. He put it inside of me. He called me out of the place I was. Listen, he saved you out of sin. Don't sit on the salvation you have. Share it with somebody who needs Jesus. Tell them all about it. Man, we used to sing that old song. Y'all remember? Y'all remember it years ago? Call him up. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Oh, I'm just dying to know. How many of y'all remember that song, Jesus on the main line? How many, all right, put your hands down. How many of y'all never heard it in your life? Raise your hand. When I was a kid, girl, I wish I could sing. I'd belt it out right now for you. Please don't. Amen. Here's our lesson to learn. All that we have is the Master's. And we should use it wisely. Don't waste the Master's gifts that have been given to you. You know why? Because one day he's going to return. And he's going to look at you and say, what have you done with the talents I gave you? Don't be the one that says, I knew you were tough, so I buried it. Be the one that says, Lord, I used it. Now, I know I was tough on you in part of that message because probably some of us need to hear it. But I want you to understand the only way for the fulfillment of the word to happen in our lives is to get past sometimes our limited mentality, because a limited mentality buries a talent. Mentality and heart of faith invested. Got this little app on my phone called Stash. Anybody ever seen it? It's a little simple investment app. A little quick trade kind of app. I have a couple of accounts that I invest in, Apple and different ones. And I've got them set up to where weekly a little small amount of money goes out and goes in. And I look at it not every day, because when you're investing like that, it's long term. You can't freak out from day to day. You follow me? One day you're high, the next day you're low. But it's over time. You want to see the trend. You want to see the pattern. You want to see where it's been and where it seems to be going, where it's projected to go. I learned a long time ago that in pastoring, you can't go from the highs and the lows of the day. But you got to look at where it's been. Please hear me. And then you got to know where it's going. I know where Mountain Gap's been. And I say this in love, and I know where it's going. And I don't want anybody to miss it. Get off your seat. Throw all your ideologies out the window if you have to, that's hindering you, whatever it takes, and just say, God, use me. When we're so busy being available to God and serving Him, it's amazing how the selfishness and personal wants and things that we think has to be just disappear, because all we're doing is being busy about the Father's business. I was talking with Michael the other day. I went by his office to visit with him, stopped in, and told him in a conversation. I said, you know, I don't worry about the future of Mountain Gap, because what I figured out is this. It's not even about what I think or what I want or what somebody else thinks or what they want. It's what God wants. And if I can stay in tune with Him with each step that we make and follow His direction and let Him be the artist that paints on the canvas. Each church looks different. I don't want to copy another church. Don't want to be like another church. I don't pastor the church the way I pastored my last church, because He's the artist. He's the potter. He's the one shaping the vessel. Are you hearing me? If I'll just say, God, here I am, shape me, shape us, direct us. Are you with me? He'll make us into what He wants to be. And can I tell you something? No greater feeling than knowing you've been in the hand of the potter and Him making you into what He wants you to be. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? John chapter 14, verse 12 said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. I don't believe we should settle for less. Amen. 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9 said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. So I ask you, are you ready to take action with the great gifts? They're not cheap stuff. You like my picture up there? Some of you have been in that little bowl way too long. I like fish. I have 3 fish tanks. I got a 55-gallon, a 30-gallon, and a 6-gallon. In my 55, I tend to raise African cichlids, and if you know what they are, they're one of the most colorful freshwater fish you'll ever find. I don't do salt. And I run the water level high. And in my little bitty 6-gallon tank, it's real small, real cool-looking tank, it's got some red-eye tetras in it and a betta. Well, I found out with those red-eye tetras, I got to keep that little clear plastic thing on top. Because if I don't, they will go kamikaze, son, straight out the top and all the way to the floor. But I like that, because I think so many times, yes, we were being used over there, maybe. That small tank, you know, it was all good and fine and we were comfortable. But God said, I got something more for you. See, today your mentality went from a talent to a 75-pound block of gold. God compared the talents released in your life to an insane, unimaginable amount of money, of weight and of value, so that you could understand that each one of you, according to your own ability, have been given talent. Mariella, I'm bad with names. What's your daughter's name? Michaela. Come here, baby, would you? Yes, please. Come on. Look at there. Y'all give her a hand this morning. She's like, Mama, what's he want? I'm going to pour a whole bottle of oil over your head. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Would you turn around for me? This is the only way I don't feel short standing around her, is to stay up here. She plays volleyball. She tried out. She made the team. She works. That's a talent. Right?
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
Come here. Stand by her. Yeah, you, Roy. Richard. Tommy. Petty. Get over here. Kylie, come stand beside her, would you? Trudy, don't you play piano or something? Didn't I hear that? Trudy, come on up here. Yeah, look at there. Everybody's not even looking at me now. They're all like... I'll use the young ones. They've got natural talents. They use them. And there's plenty. But I look at Brother James and I see a talented teacher and a leader. Think about it. I think about Ben and his passion to disciple young men and speak into their lives. Johnny Peake's a quiet guy seemingly, but just get him at McDonald's now. Amen. Actually, he's still quiet. But he's got a passionate heart, and he's a servant, because if you walk into a room where food's been served or something's going on, he's one of the first ones to get a vacuum cleaner. Listen to me now. All around this room today, I could just go through names of people. I said to someone the other day, Bruce had been here all weekend serving. Listen to this. Bruce was here all weekend serving these young women at that women's conference, running their sound and their media when he could have been at home. But he gave up his Saturday, his Friday night, to serve this next generation coming up. Thanks, guys. Y'all kind of got the right. We had the domino effect going on there. He runs cross country. Here's my point. When I see men like that and others, and I see their talents, but then I look out and I see some of you that maybe you got a talent you're using in secret, but some of you have believed for too long you could do nothing for God. Maybe you've sinned, maybe you've made mistakes, maybe you have failed in the past. Maybe you've lived under criticism and negativity and you've been told you couldn't. I don't know what it is. But what I can tell you is this. The same God that gave out those sets of talents to those three has given out talents and abilities to each one of us in this room. Don't you be afraid and go bury what God's given you. Some of you used to sit down and write the most beautiful poetry. You say, well, Pastor, how is that a talent? Just recently, somebody slipped me a poem that Miss Elaine's mother, I believe, wrote. And it blessed me. I never met her. I didn't know her. But something she did blessed me. Listen to me. Quit sitting on your giftings. You never know. 120 years ago, Mountain Gap started. Do you think 120 years ago that all of those people sat around and knew that you would be on this land, in this building, with this awesome pastor you've got? You know what they saw? They saw an avenue for winning people to Jesus. They preached the gospel. Lives were changed. And here we are. Amen. Stop sitting on your talent. If you're ready today, would you bow your heads with me? If you say, Pastor, I'm ready to use what God's given me. I'm ready to let Him flow through me. I'm ready to take action. I'm ready to be everything God wants me to be. When the Master comes back for His account, I want to be able to say, Lord, I didn't bury it, but I used it. If that's you, would you step out of your seat and come stand on this altar with me all over this place today? Would you do that right now? All of you, would you? If that's you, would you do that? Sweetheart, would you join me up here, please? I'm ready. You know, I have to fight the devil too sometimes, guys. When I preach a tough sermon, the devil says, you messed up now. But I learned a long time ago, 9 times out of 10, when I'm hearing you messed up now, it's one of the best sermons probably I ever preached. was driving through Thomaston the other day, coming in from Barnesville. I heard the Spirit of the Lord just speak to my heart. John, I'm raising up a church to reach the nations. John, I'm raising up the church to reach the nations. An unprecedented ministry. And then I heard the Holy Spirit say, but John, I'm going to require more out of you. And I'll say to you today, if He's going to require more out of me, He's going to require more out of us. Recently, we went through some pastoral coaching sessions, training classes and things, and I love to learn. I want to be the best pastor that I can. And in one of those conversations they shared, and as pastors we talked about trying to put ourselves in the position of a visitor. Trying to put ourselves in the position of a church member. Bruce, there's times I wanted to go sit down on the pew and just be the member. Nothing wrong with that. But the truth is, each one of us have our own calling and we have to fulfill it. But I want to be able to see Mountain Gap from an outside view looking in. And one of the things that they talked about is in winning people to Jesus, sometimes we have to try for a moment to see the church like the world sees the church. It's kind of hard for me. I've been saved a long time. Our view of the church is, it's just like where we live. We have a view of God that's filtered through our experiences. If you've ever experienced the miracle working power of Jesus Christ when you were very sick or ill or hurting or broken, your view of God's different than someone that's never trusted Him in that way. Think about it. And when you've been in church for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years, and I've been pastoring 22 and a half years, somewhere along in there, my view of ministry starts being shaped out of a pastoral view. And sometimes I'm not seeing what other people see, especially unchurched people. They don't run through the door thinking the way you and I think on Sunday morning. They run through the door thinking, is anybody going to be nice to me?
Yeah.
They do. They run through the door. Am I going to make it through this? What's that preacher going to be like? Is he going to tell me that I'm a horrible sinner and I'm going to hell? I don't want to tell you that you're a horrible sinner. What I want to do is tell you about the love of Jesus Christ. And yes, if we don't accept Christ, I won't deny it and I won't beat around the bush. That hell is there, and that as sinners we will die and go to hell without Jesus. But I'm not here to browbeat you or beat you down. I'm here to tell you about a God that gave His Son. And His Son loves you so much that He died for you. Are you ready? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, for every man and woman that stands in this altar, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, we're ready. We're ready to take action. We're ready to do what You've called us to do. We're ready to seize the moment. We're ready, Father, that when You come and give an account, that I can say that I've not buried my talent. I've not buried what You gifted me with, but I'm using it for Your glory. I'm not sitting on it, but I'm investing it. I'm not hiding it, but I'm sharing it. Oh, come on now. I want to be. Say it like that. Lord, I want to be. Come on, say it out loud, everybody. Lord, I want to be. I desire to be that light, the salt that You have called me to be, that this world can change. With the rest of my days, with the rest of my breath, for as long as I shall live, I want to be that leader, that servant that You gifted with Your talents. I want to use them for Your glory. In Jesus' name.
Joining us today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.